welcome, folks, to the inaugural edition. This is the official first recording of Seattle Truth News Radio. I am your host, Kenny Van Dyke, Jr. So, Seattle Truth News, what is this? Well, as kind of it sounds, it's Seattle news with the slant of truth on it. I am one who believes that there is a story behind the curtain, behind the mainstream media, that is not being told to us. And I intend to at least assist in exposing those lies for all of you. So, again, the show is Seattle Truth News. I got my MySpace up and running. It's myspace.com/Seattle Truth News. That's how we communicate around here. This is a bargain basement show, if you will, a shoestring budget. So we communicate through Seattle Truth News at MySpace. And so if you want to get a hold of me there, I'm blogging about everything that I'm talking about on this show. So even if I record this show, you know, maybe 3 days ago, it'll air later, and then you can comment on it. So there's going to be a little delay in terms of communication that way. But again, this is Seattle Truth News. This is our maiden recording, our official first recording after some sound checks and technical glitches have been worked through. And now we are recording live from the largest, on top of rather, the largest fallout bunker in the western United States, Nike Hill. So take that as you will. But I figured since this is the first show, you might want to know a little bit about your host. So basically, I grew up in this area my whole life. Never been more than, never more than half an hour away from downtown Seattle as far as drive time is concerned. And so, you know, I'm a local guy around here. That's why I picked Seattle Truth News. Because I find that there is so much going on locally that, you know, covering these same stories, these same national stories that are covered on other radio shows, just doesn't cut it. So I'm kind of here to shine a spotlight on some of the things that go on locally that, you know, that maybe you could take it up with your city hall or your city council instead of necessarily having to go to, you know, state government or federal government, which, you know, at that point you're just a little peon. They don't care. So we're going to be highlighting issues like that on the show, but basically, I was raised to question authority by my parents. I went to Christian school for the first, private Christian school for the first 4 years of my education. I could say it was one of the best things that happened to me, not because of the Christian inundation that they tried giving me, but because the quality of teaching in a private school versus a public school is far and away better. I mean, you know, third graders at Cedar Park Christian School knew algebra. When I finally made the transition to public school, I did not learn algebra until I was, they didn't even bother trying to teach algebra until the seventh and eighth grade. So, you know, that just goes to show you how sadly lacking public schools are. But I was raised to question authority. I remember my first trip to the principal's office was in, I believe it was first or second grade, when one of the teachers was telling me that Ethiopian children are going to hell if they've never heard of Jesus. And I thought that was pretty bogus. I figured any God that's around, if they're so powerful, could understand, hey, maybe this guy's never heard of me. Maybe I shouldn't send him to hell. So I called BS on my teacher. She sat me out in front of the classroom, came out to talk to me. I called BS on her again. And a trip to the principal's office ensued. It would be one of many, of which I'm sure we will touch on over the course of the days and weeks of this radio show. Also about me, I am a musician. I've got an artistic background and a very vocal, talkative background. My whole life coming up through school, teachers would always say, hey, you should be a used car salesman because you're a smooth talker. Well, I don't know how smooth of a talker I am, but a talker I definitely am. So as a musician, you know, long story short, I'm still in a band today. Met a couple of the guys that are in the band while in junior high and high school. Met the other two members, one of which, Corey, our drummer, actually turned me on to a lot of the information that we're going to talk about here in this show. But what got me interested in radio was after our first album was released, we had gone and played the Sturgis Biker Rally. We played at the legendary Buffalo Chip, and that's the largest biker rally in the world. And so we played this biker rally, and we came back, and we got contacted by a guy named Kevin McDonald, who did a radio show out of Bellevue, Washington. And so he invited us to come into the studio with him, and we did, I believe we did an hour, or maybe it was a half an hour, I think, the first time. We went in there three times, as well as I was invited back as a co-host. Just those three times really kind of got my blood pumping, being in the studio and just doing the thing. So I've kind of had my eyes on, you know, co-hosting or hosting or doing something in radio for quite a few years now. But I never really kind of got the bug up my butt to do it. Until one day, we were in the studio, and my drummer, Corey, he comes up to me and says, "Hey, I got a DVD that you need to watch. All the guys need to watch. DVD called The Corporation." And for those of you who haven't seen The Corporation, I highly, highly recommend it. You can find it. Just Google video it or YouTube it. You might have to watch it in multiple pieces. I'm not super tech savvy, so I don't know how to do the BitTorrent deal. But if you do, you know, I'm sure you can figure that out. But The Corporation. And so Corey shows us The Corporation, and by the end of it, my blood was boiling. It was my first glimpse into the men behind the curtain, or however you want to put it, the story behind the story, the matrix, if you will, the cover that the mainstream media is giving to what's really going on in the world. And so, you know, that woke me up, and, you know, over the course of just the next couple of years, I was turned on to other films. Eventually, I was turned on to a film called Endgame by Alex Jones. And that basically, that opened the floodgates. I have to give credit to Alex and Jason Burmis for getting me on a radio show. A lot of people call up to their show and say, you know, I woke up to what's really going on in this world, you know, however long ago. What can I do? And the answer is always, well, try and wake more people up. And then you got callers who say, well, I've woken up everybody I know. What else can I do? And you can go out and get active and hand out flyers and all that kind of stuff. But I certainly know I don't like being bothered when I'm walking down the street having somebody trying to hand me a flyer. So it's not really my cup of tea. So one of the things that Alex and Jason Burmis both suggest is start a radio show. Why don't you start a radio show? You know, a micro FM or an internet radio show, which this is. And, you know, maybe make it local. And so that's what I've done. Woken up my friends, and now I'm pretty much to the point where I feel like I've got to do something. So I want to do my part to wake people up. So that goes on to the next thing. Wake people up to what? Well, to the world behind the world given to us by the mainstream media. This is everything. This is, TV is obviously the biggest culprit, the idiot box, as many people called it. I liked TV. I'm 27 years old. I liked TV growing up. I remember watching Full House and Family Matters and, you know, Nickelodeon, Are You Afraid of the Dark? You know, that was my cup of tea when I was a kid, and I didn't see it as predictive programming. I didn't see it as rotting my brain. I didn't see it as the idiot box. That started changing when MTV came around and started putting reality shows when The Real World came out. And I realized that it was actually controlled by producers, and it was the opposite of the real world. It was the unreal world that we want you to think is the real world. And so then I started looking at the TV as kind of a negative. Now I can barely stand to watch it. The only reason I watch TV is to see what kind of programming they're trying to put into the sheep today. But, you know, so the world behind the world can be anywhere. It's on the TV most obviously and most specifically. You know, and we'll talk about stuff. Earth 2100, for example, I could go off all day about that. I'd probably have to watch it again. God, it makes me cringe to think about that bit of predictive programming. But, you know, there's predictive programming in video games. You know, I just seen a commercial, you know, crush the New World Order, join the Red Faction, destroy everything in sight. You know, as if destroying the New World Order, or at least trying to stop it, is some sort of violent thing. It's a war of minds. It's a war of thoughts. It's not a war of go throw a grenade at the Hotel Bilderberg. That's just not going to work. You know, and then there's, you got talk radio. Talk radio is another form of control. You got guys like Sean Hannity out there on the right wing of things and Rachel Maddow on the left wing of things. You know, and they're bouncing things back and forth on their little blogs. You've got Drudge Report and the Huffington Post and all those. But that left-right paradigm, which is something we're also going to talk about a lot on this show, it's total lie, total BS to get everybody just, you know, bickering and fighting amongst each other on either side of the field while they're running up the middle with our money and with our control of our lives. You know, it's not just about money. A lot of people think that these politicians just fleece us. That's their goal. They want money. Well, yeah, of course they want money. But what do they say? They say money is power. And they have so much money already that now money isn't even a good enough manifestation for them. They want power. Who are they? Well, we're talking about the elites. This is a show that acknowledges something called the New World Order. Now, they don't call themselves the New World Order. This is not the same New World Order that these, you know, neo-Nazi skinhead morons believe in. Think it's some sort of, you know, run by the Jews or something. We don't think that here at this show at all. But we definitely know that you've got crooks like David Rockefeller, you know, David Gergen, and, you know, Rahm Emanuel. I mean, our White House chief of staff. He's an elite. He's not one of the uber upper level elites, but he's certainly a Wall Street elite. So here at this show, we acknowledge elites. We acknowledge a New World Order. Again, it doesn't call itself that, although the media is actually beginning to call it the New World Order. There was actually just a conference in Canada entitled to Adapting to the New World Order. So it's not like it doesn't exist, folks. Another thing we talk about here on this show is 9/11. Now, that's a touchy subject for a lot of people. To go as far as to say 9/11 was an inside job, no, I don't think George Bush and Dick Cheney were rooting around in Building 7 planting thermite themselves. But if you've ever seen a controlled building collapse, I'll tell you, Building 7, if you showed that to people, most people don't even know that a third building fell down that day. But so 9/11 being an inside job, I don't know. I think there was complicity, but I don't think Bush and Cheney were crawling around in the basement. I definitely, you know, I mean, it's unclassified fact that we knew we were going to be struck at Pearl Harbor. That's why there were so few civilians there. And we lost a lot of people. It would have been worse if we wouldn't have, you know, not evacuated, but it certainly, they certainly stood down and had less people on hand. And that's all unclassified fact. So, you know, we knew Pearl Harbor was coming. We let it happen. Did we know 9/11 was coming? You know, intelligence points to yes. But, you know, I digress. We're not going to get into that right here and right now. But as far as what the show does get into, we get into controversial things like the New World Order, like 9/11 conspiracy. Now, there's a difference between conspiracy theory and conspiracy fact. Okay, just because something is unpopular doesn't necessarily make it a conspiracy theory. The fact that Building 7, again, 9/11, the fact that Building 7 came down at free fall speed, that's not a conspiracy. That's documented fact. And so when you use documented fact to support an argument, it's not conspiracy. Conspiracy theory is believing that the world is run by Sasquatch, or that the world is run by shape-shifting reptilian aliens, or, you know, pop culture conspiracy theory. I'm sure you've heard the one that Kentucky Fried Chicken changed its name to KFC for a long time because they couldn't call it chicken anymore. It was so genetically modified that they can't even call it chicken. That's never been true, but to this day, people believe that. That's conspiracy theory. It's unproven, and nobody even looks into it. So we don't really touch on conspiracy theory. I'm willing to go out on a ledge. You know, I'm willing to look at what's out there, but I certainly wouldn't say that I believe a lot of this conspiracy stuff. And we can debate that as the show goes on. But another thing that we like to expose here is global warming. Because out here in Seattle, we're a test balloon for global warming. We're probably going to be the first the first group of people that has GPS mandatory in their vehicles so they can track you per mile that you drive, because we're killing the environment, and also for traffic congestion reduction. They call it congestion pricing. So, you know, global warming is a big scam that they're floating a test balloon out here in Seattle to see just how much they can get away with. You know, right down to the Seattle School District even went into other school districts and handed out flyers to the students to go home and count how many light bulbs do mommy and daddy have. You know, what kind of cars do mommy and daddy have? How many trips a week do mommy and daddy take? And then underneath that, how many trips do you think could be avoided? You know, and on the questionnaire goes. But so, you know, out here, we definitely see more on the global warming mania than you see maybe anywhere else, maybe L.A., maybe New York. But, you know, these Seattleites are just, we're just taking it. I mean, we're just taking it. And, you know, so the purpose of the show is basically to wake people up to things like that. I'd love to be an outlet for We Are Change Seattle. We Are Change has a strong chapter out here in Seattle. Great website, great information. I'd invite and urge everyone to go check them out, join up. I have to admit, I have yet to attend a single We Are Change meetup. But even though I'm pretty talkative, I'm kind of a shy guy. I don't really like new people. So, you know, I would take callers if we had them, but I don't know if I'd necessarily go out with a beer with you, you know. So, at any rate, why are we doing this to wake people up? How are we doing it? Well, my goal is to do it a little differently. We got a guy, Dory Monson, out here. He's on 97.3 Cairo FM. And he's literally a voice in the wilderness. He's a libertarian slash conservative type guy. Just believes, he questions constantly what is the proper role of government. Is the proper role of government to send students home with a questionnaire asking how many light bulbs mommy and daddy use? And the answer to that is no. So he's very into the role of government, less bureaucratic waste. He does not get into the more controversial issues. The elites, the Rockefellers, you know, the Bilderberg Group, CFR, Trilateral, you name it. He does not get into those, though he hints at them sometimes. I'm curious exactly what he knows. But what are we going to do with this show? Well, you've got Dory to be the local watchdog of government that way. He doesn't cover the angle that I'm going to cover, so there is that. But, you know, that's Dory's job, and he's doing a bang-up job of it. So there's that. You want to talk, you know, news of the day? You want to talk national news of the day, stuff that you won't hear on the mainstream media? You got Alex Jones for that. And, you know, no offense to Alex Jones, but it's kind of abrasive sometimes listening to his show. I mean, if you had your alarm clock set to go off right in the middle of one of Alex Jones's rants, you'd probably wake up and try and bash your alarm clock with a baseball bat. You know, and he takes things to extremes sometimes, you know. He's talking about they must reduce our population by 80%. It is written in stone. You know, and frankly, it is written in stone. But, you know, when was that stone erected? You know, how many people were alive then? It's much more than an 80% population reduction now. And that's just, I don't know if it's sensationalism. I don't know if it's, or if he really believes that they can do that. But I find it hard to believe, even if there are elites, people behind the curtain, if you will, I still have a hard time buying the fact that they could enslave us and then choose to kill us. If I was a megalomaniacal, you know, crazy elite, I'd probably want as many willing slaves as I could get, not kill them off. So Alex is pretty abrasive, but he does his thing. He fills his niche, and it's perfect. I wouldn't ask for anything else. But he yells at his callers a lot. It's hard to get a word in edgewise. And so you move on to Jason Burmess. Now, Burmess, you got to love Burmess. I got to give the guy credit. Loose Change was a great film. He's gone back and re-edited it a few times and, you know, added new information as it's come to light. And it was actually on Burmess's suggestion that I start my own internet radio show. and here I am doing it. So, but my only problem with Bermas is that I almost feel like he takes too many calls and basically just touches on headlines for story after story without getting into the in-depth, without maybe trying to get an interview with some of the culprits involved. You know, a lot of times we've got a lot of preaching to the choir going on in this movement where, you know, you hate water fluoridation, so you get somebody on the air that also hates water fluoridation and you pat each other's back all day. Well, what about somebody who thinks water fluoridation is good being on the air and you can argue your points with them? Or if you don't have the chops, maybe you get an expert against water fluoridation, an expert for water fluoridation, and let them hash it out and let people decide. This show is not going to be about telling people what to think. I'm really a commentator. I think it's going to be telling people what I think and see what you think, you know, by going to the blog and commenting. And again, that's myspace.com/SeattleTruthNews. And might as well plug my band. Go to myspace.com/MidstockTheBand to check out my band as well. You know, shameless plug, might as well go for it. And actually with that, since I don't have commercial sponsors at this point yet, what we are going to do is take a quick break here, and I will leave you with some of the music of my band, Midstock.
Looking for my girl at the end of the world. Big baby got baby wrapped up in the oil. Big baby's loving spoiled now. I bury my head into big baby soil. I need speed, I need distance.
I need something more to believe in.
I need heat, I need love.
I need to know that you believe in me.
Looking for the truth at the end of my days. Big baby got the truth spun into a haze. Your reality got me in a rage. I'm locking big baby into a cage. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I need speed, I need distance.
I need something more to believe in.
I need heat, I need love.
I need to know that you believe in me.
Welcome back. Hopefully you're still with us. What you just heard there is off of my band's new album, It's Your Problem Now. You can check it out at myspace.com/midstocktheband. That's MIDSTOKKE, theband.com. What you just heard there was called Trainwreck. Hopefully you didn't think it was a train wreck. We just got done working in the studio with a guy named Tom Faffel down at his studio, The Tank. And I have to say, it was a great time. So, Tom, if you're hearing this, just want to say thanks again for a great time, buddy. And hope to do it again soon. So, anyways, and again, my MySpace page is myspace.com/SeattleTruthNews. You know, pretty clever name considering the show, Seattle Truth News. I just wanted to touch on something, you know, real quick, short segment here, I believe. The media, what are they covering? Well, yesterday and today, they have been working to pass the largest tax increase that there is, this carbon cap and trade tax, the trial balloon for carbon cap and trade. What is it overshadowed by? The death of Michael Jackson. Now, I know what you're thinking, oh, the death of Michael Jackson, you know, that's a huge story. Why is it a huge story? Could someone please explain to me why that is such a frickin' huge story? And don't get me wrong, it's not just because it's Michael Jackson. You know, he's being compared to Elvis and being compared to Marilyn Monroe and Frank Sinatra. So, who gives a damn if those people died? Why was it a big people when they died? Because they're celebrities? I guess what I just kind of want to go off on here for a minute is people's stupidity. What the hell is the deal with a celebrity? What's the big draw? What's the big attraction? Ooh, you're so beautiful. Well, we all know Michael Jackson wasn't too beautiful by the end of his life. And we all know he had a tormented childhood, and you know, you can feel bad for that up until the point where you know, he started molesting kids, which, you know, that was never fleshed out in court. It was never proven. You know, don't want to be disparaging a dead man, but the guy was a freak regardless. You know, he was abused as a kid as well. Maybe he was just demented and literally was innocent, like a 9-year-old having a sleepover. Or maybe it was something more sinister where he's feeding kids wine and touching their wee-wee. We just won't know, and we really won't know now that the guy's dead. But still, they're passing the largest tax increase that we have seen ever. It's the largest tax increase in the history of the United States, and the news is fawning over the death of Michael Jackson. Now, and I mentioned earlier, there's a difference between conspiracy theory and conspiracy fact. Conspiracy theory is a bunch of unprovable nonsense. But I'll tell you what, if there was a conspiracy theory out there that said Michael Jackson was an alien, I might believe you just based on how the guy looked at the end of his life. I mean, he had an interview with Howard Stern, and you know Howard Stern, you never know whether he's telling the truth or not, but he says that Michael's plastic nose piece actually was falling out during his interview. So, and he described it as two little holes in his face. Now, if that isn't an alien, I don't know what is. But, you know, I kid. But still, I just wanted to kind of ruminate on that for a moment. What is the obsession with celebrity? Michael Jackson, you know, he's bad, Jamal, you know it. But what are we giving him credit for? Twisting language around us and having people refer to things as bad being good? That's bad, man. That's badass. I don't know. Badass to me sounds like a dying donkey, or at least that's what it used to mean. You know, and again, I'm only 27, but I have a pretty decent grasp of the English language, and it has been twisted. It has been turned into almost like an Orwellian, you know, ingsoc, you know, we don't speak full words anymore, kind of a deal anymore. But and I think that is kind of brought on by this mania, this pop culture mania. You know, you got Michael Jackson coming out with "I'm Bad," as if that's a good thing. But he's dead. They're saying it's probably drugs. They're saying the doctor probably, you know, maybe even killed him. Not murder, but was responsible for his death. And I guess the question is to you, and again, I'm going to blog about this a little bit later on. My question to you is, Do you think that the media ran with the Michael Jackson story more than they would have just to cover the passage of the cap and trade bill? Is that a possibility? Just something I wonder. Just something I thought about. I still can't get away with it or get away from it. You know, it happened yesterday afternoon, and I mean, they're doing special reports and, you know, montages of his stuff, and you know, there's wakes being held with people breakdancing with glittery gloves on, and I just find it ultimately sad and somewhat scary. I can only imagine what the reaction is going to be when, you know, and I pray to God the guy doesn't get assassinated or some BS like that. But you know, when Barack Obama dies looking like Morgan Freeman, you know, an 80-year-old man who was the president of the United States for 5 terms and then the head of the UN, which is a possibility if you ask me. You know, when he dies of old age, he's a pop culture figure that's going to in just a matter of years going to blow Michael Jackson out of the water. You know, I understand the historical implications of the fact that the man is the first African American president of the United States. But you know, and that's some people debate that too. I don't really care. If you're black enough to have a racist look at you and go, that guy's a nigger, then you're black enough to call yourself black. I don't care what people say about, you know, well, he's only half black or da-da-da. I don't care. But, you know, I bring up Obama in parallel to Michael Jackson in that Obama is a pop culture president. He's the first pop culture president. We had some of that with Bill Clinton, with him getting up and playing saxophone on Arsenio Hall. But, you know, when have you seen, you know, so many people wearing cool shirts? I got the Obama Zippo last week. You know, I'm rocking the Obama hat and the Obama backpack. I mean, pretty soon they're going to be putting out a car from GM called the Obama. I wouldn't be surprised. But you know, I mean, we are so obsessed with pop culture. How did this guy get elected president? How did he get elected president? Well, you know, that's something that we'll talk about later in the show, but, you know, the short answer of that is he was not elected president. He was appointed president at the Bilderberg meeting. It was between him and Hillary Clinton, and they probably figured that they wanted him to be the frontman president so Hillary Clinton could get more done on foreign policy, because that's where the true power lies right now, is how quickly can we get ourselves entangled in all these international agreements. But I digress. We will get into those issues a little bit later. I just wanted to touch on this Jackson thing. So go to the blog, myspace.com/SeattleTruthNews, and there will be a post there. Feel free to comment. You know, right now we're looking at a massive audience in the single digits. Hopefully that will change. Well, I'm sure it'll change, but for now, if you do go to MySpace and blog on, or rather comment on my blog, chances are you'll get a pretty prompt response from me. So, anyways, I'll leave that where it is. Michael Jackson dead at 50. The world using it as a cover to pass the largest taxes increase ever in the history of the United States. And with that, I will treat you to another wonderful jewel off of our new album, It's Your Problem Now.
Already wanted to reopen the gas. Once arise, darkness.
welcome back to the show. What you just heard there is a song entitled Blackwater off of my band Midstock's latest album release, It's Your Problem Now. You can find that song as well as the album at midstockmusic.com or myspace.com/midstocktheband. And that song, I don't know if you caught it, some people don't listen to lyrics, but that's actually a little tune about the response or lack thereof of the Hurricane Katrina disaster in New Orleans. It's something that strongly touched my lead singer, and within a couple of weeks, that song was done and ready to record. We didn't get the opportunity to go into the studio and actually record it for some time after that, but definitely a song near and dear to our lead singer's heart. I would urge you to check out the entire album, but again, shameless plug, that's not what we're doing here. Welcome back to Seattle Truth News. Again, I'm your host, Kenny, and what I wanted to talk about here in this next little segment, we've only got a couple more, I wanted to talk to you about an idea that I've had. And again, the basis for even having a show, doing a show, recording a show, is all of these people that call in to basically, as Alex likes to call himself, the tip of the spear, the Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, the Alex Jones radio show, the Jason Burmis, Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. That's basically the largest audience that we in the truth movement have. And so, you know, what is the truth movement? Not everybody has to believe everything. I would say that. You know, I mean, you got people in the truth movement who literally do believe that there are alien reptilian shapeshifters running the planet. You don't have to believe that to know that there's something fishy going on with 9/11. You don't have to believe there's something fishy going on with 9/11 to realize that Monsanto is essentially an evil corporation. I mean, you know, the corporation is what it is. And again, I'd strongly urge anyone to check out that movie on Google Videos, find it on MySpace. People have it posted there. Find it on YouTube. You know, it might be cut up into 20 parts, but if you find the right playlist, it's pretty painless. So, again, the corporation. But Monsanto, an evil corporation. You know, you don't have to believe 9/11 was an inside job to know that Monsanto is up to no good. You don't even have to believe that Monsanto is up to no good to know that the medical industry is up to no good. You know, on and on it goes. There are layers of truth. I mean, it's like an onion. You know, the more layers you peel off, the more layers you find. But the impetus of this show was because of the, quote, tip of the spear between Alex Jones and Jason Burmis. And I did start this show because I was tired of hearing people say, what can I do? And I basically have woken up everybody that will give me an ear to hear. And so now I want to take it a little bit further. And so I wanted to touch on an idea that I had. And this goes back to an experience that I had in high school. It occurred a few times. I went to high school at Inglemore High School, just over there in Bothell. And, you know, a couple of times, I don't remember exactly which year, but I know it happened at least two or three. You'd show up at school, and, you know, it's 7 o'clock in the morning, and there are people, probably a dozen of them, standing around that, you know, thank God your mom chose life, you know, a bunch of pro-lifers, and they had signs of literally, you know, decapitated babies, you know, in the surgical steel sinks, you know, at the hospital, and, you know, choose life, and, you know, these people were literally, like, angry people, and they were literally trying to get a rise out of the kids by showing them pictures. I mean, I'm talking, you know, they had picketing signs that were, you know, 4 foot by 3 foot with a giant picture of some bloody decapitated baby. Now, don't get me wrong, I think abortion is freaking crazy. You know, I'm no animal behavior expert, but as far as I'm aware, there's no other species in existence that kills its baby while still in the womb. I think it's just, you know, whatever you think of us, we are essentially animals. And as far as I'm aware, we're the only animal that does that. But, you know, abortion is a hotly debated issue. It divides the country like none other. And, you know, if you think abortion is okay, I'm not going to change your mind. If you think abortion is completely wrong, I'm not going to change your mind either. I'm somewhere in the middle, which is kind of hard to say, you know, because it's kind of a wussy position to take. You know, again, I mentioned it earlier, I'm not a Christian, but I'm not a non-believer either. I definitely think there's good and evil in this world, and I think killing a baby before it has a chance to live is tantamount to murder. That being said, you know, I'm somewhat libertarian. I don't think it's okay to go kill somebody. But at the same time, if you choose to have an abortion, that's between you and whatever maker may exist. You know, if there are consequences like that for committing murder, then that's your choice if it's still inside your body. But, you know, we're not going to solve that debate here. That's just where I stand. But again, the reason I bring the abortion thing up is because outside of high school, there were about a dozen, not protesters, but demonstrators that were out there, and their entire purpose was to get a rise out of the students. Out of the students and hopefully get some news coverage, which they did. But take abortion. That's something that's gonna split the population apart. You know, are you a Christian? Are you pro-life? All that. What about if we were to go out in front of a school with giant picket signs that said things like "Teacher, teacher," or "End the Federal Reserve," or "No more mind control," or, you know, let's use a quote from Pink Floyd. You know, "Hey, teacher, leave these kids alone." You know, if we were to go out and demonstrate in front of schools against school about the fact that, hey, kids, you're being brainwashed. Don't believe me? And what do you have? You have backpacks full of the Obama deception, full of America freedom to fascism, full of the world according to Monsanto, and particularly full of the great global warming swindle, which is one of the greatest and short. By the way, a lot of people don't have the stomach to sit down and watch a three-hour documentary because our attention span has been so wiped out by the mercury and fluoride that they put in just about everything. That the great global warming swindle is a great way to wake up, especially kids who have that even shorter attention span than I do. I mean, I'm 27, and I feel like I'm 27 going on 19. You know, and they say time flies when you get older. Well, it certainly does, but I can remember what it was like being a kid. And if my attention span, you know, which I had a pretty good attention span, I did good in school, you know, I did damn good in school. But, you know, I saw the attention span of my fellow classmates, and I could only imagine here, you know, 10 years later, my God, it's been, well, 10-year anniversary of class of 99 is coming up. But at any rate, you know, I could only imagine what the attention span of these little moron kids, these little fluoride heads, are at right now. So if you could hand them something like the Great Global Warming Swindle, which in an hour and 15 minutes basically blows the doors off of global warming, if you had all of that information available in front of a school, and you are within your rights to demonstrate, to peaceably assemble, and to disseminate information, what could be better than waking up the kids? At a high school age, you want to be against the establishment. I don't know if it's just adolescence or maybe it's something, you know, uniquely American, that at that age you just want to rebel. But rebel against what? You know, they've got the system set up so that instead of rebelling against the system, they've got you rebelling against your parents. You know, and, you know, every one of us had, at least, you know, from my experience, every one of us had a rebellious streak at one point or another. I've always gotten along all right with my folks. You know, we've had our fights and whatever. But I've always gotten along really well with my folks. You know, my dad is the guy that taught me to question authority all the time. You know, that was reinforced by my mom. But, you know, my dad was constantly driving into me, you know. Read between the lines. Look at what they're trying to get you to think, what they're trying to get you to believe. And, you know, so that rebellious streak is wasted on people rebelling against their parents who, for the most part, I mean, there are bad parents out there, sure, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, these people are they have a misplaced rebellion. I think that in our gut somewhere as kids, we haven't completely bought into the system yet. And so what we want to do is we want to, you know, we want to rage against the machine, if you will. And the system teaches us that the machine is our parents. And, you know, to hell with you, Dad, we're not sitting down for family dinner or whatever. You know, and the destruction of the family is something that we'll get into later. Again, you know, I'm coming off like some sort of right-wing conservative here. And I grew up my entire life thinking I was some sort of left-leaning, compassionate, liberal kind of character. Well, that's what school had taught me I was. I didn't know any better. And so if we were to go out in front of school and just say, literally, a sign, imagine your teachers are lying to you. Your teachers are brainwashing you. You know, wake up to the truth. And not in a confrontational way. You know, there's these kids that love their enslavement already. And they might even come out and put up a counter-protest to you. But I'll tell you what. As long as you've got the information there, what are they gonna point at as the truth? Their textbook? You know, I remember going through junior high, going through high school, specifically history classes, where in a single year, you would use three different textbooks. You'd go through the first 300 pages of this book, and then the last 200 pages of this other book, and then the middle section of this book. Why is that? Could it possibly be that they were hand-picking the history they wanted to teach us out of multiple books? You know, call me crazy, but I think the answer is yes. So, at any rate, you know, people call into Jason, people call into Alex, and when I get my legs under me, people will be calling into me and saying, what can I do? Well, I'll tell you what, as long as you're within your right to peaceably assemble, you know, yeah, get a radio show like I'm doing right now. This is my version of activism. Again, I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go, you know, door to door like a Jehovah's Witness or something trying to wake people up. I'm not the kind of guy that likes to go out and interrupt people's, you know, casual conversation walking down the street and say, hey, here's a flyer. Did you know 9/11 was an inside job? I wouldn't like that if somebody did that to me, and so that's really not what I do for other people. If that works for you, then do it. It's good. It's good. But that's not for me. And again, I don't even know, you know, I'm not in the mood to be harassed by police. But I would guess that if you showed up in front of an elementary school, well, an elementary school might be a little young, but junior high and high school, if you were to show up with signs about your teachers lying to you, you know, and you know, your parents are brainwashed too. That's the other thing, is that we're two generations away from this. And this is something I'm going to talk on this show multiple times. And no offense to our parents. You know, I love my folks. They're great people. Again, taught me to question authority and question, you know, the paradigm that is put in front of me. So, you know, I absolutely must give the hats off to them. But, you know, anybody who has parents in the, you know, the baby boomer kind of age, you know, between 60 and 45 or whatever. Yeah, 55 to 35, whatever. Point being that the baby boomers, this generation right before us, our folks, they are to a large extent brainwashed as well, a large extent. Because their parents were just, I mean, our grandparents and their parents were the last real generation, the last people who knew how to, oh, I don't know, prune an apple tree. The last people who had actual root cellars in their yard. People who knew how to, you know, can things and how to, you know, make their own jelly preserves and how to make their own pickles. Nobody knows how to make their own pickles these days. I mean, well, my bassist mom knows how to make some mean pickles, but still, very, very few people are anywhere near as adapted as they once were. And so our parents have been co-opted. You know, God love them. Our parents have been co-opted. So have yours. So what is there to do? Well, you tell the kids, hey, kids, you want to rebel against your parents? Well, maybe you should. They've been co-opted too. How about instead of rebelling against your parents, you do the right thing and wake them up too? You know, I'd love to have a sign, a picket sign outside of one of these junior high or high schools that says, wake up your teacher. Could you imagine, if I'm preaching to the choir here, if you're already awake, imagine what Well, who knows? You might have been on the blacklist for the rest of school. But imagine what would have happened if you handed your history teacher, a copy of Monopoly Men, or the Obama deception, or Endgame, or any of that. Imagine waking up teachers. Imagine students, an organic student movement. And I do have to give a shout out to Young Americans for Liberty, the youth offshoot of Campaign for Liberty, Ron Paul's organization. They do great things, And so, if you are young and listening to the show, I would definitely urge you to get involved in Young Americans for Liberty. If you check YouTube, there are junior high and high school aged kids who are actually awake. They're awake. They're aware. Whether they're aware of the full New World Order agenda or not, depends on the kid. But they're certainly awake to the fact that the world that they're being, force-fed at school is not the truth. I mean, I remember when I was in, elementary school, Highlights magazine, on the back, they were constantly talking about, it wasn't global warming. At that point, it was, we're going to chop down all the rainforests. And now, instead of focusing on the rainforests, we're focusing on global warming. Well, even focusing on global warming, wasn't the planet supposed to be dead by now? I mean, wasn't Hawaii supposed to be underwater by now? How long are they going to keep saying 30 years from now this? Because it's been at least 15 since they started this global warming, and we don't look halfway to being underwater to me. I'm no scientist. That's anecdotal at best. But I'll tell you, out here in the Seattle area, just the last 3 or 4 years in a row have been some of the coldest and, most snowfall winters that I can remember in my entire life. And granted, I'm not even 3 decades, alive on this planet, but still, 27 years old, I should remember, trends. And it certainly hasn't gotten less and less and less. If you ask me, And just leave it to classic mind control. What if not only is it not global warming, but it is indeed global cooling? Wouldn't that just be a kick in the pants? Believe this, and all the while they've got all these people believing this, and the super duper high ups are just laughing their asses off. They think it's so funny watching us jump through these hoops and drive around these crappy little tin can Priuses. Just waiting to get into an accident with a semi-truck an accident with a telephone pole. Give me a mid-70s Volkswagen Bug. I'll crash that thing into a telephone pole and be better off than if you crashed a Prius into one, airbags or not. But again, I digress. I guess the main point is, and, this will be the last segment of our inaugural show, but what I would say very simply is, if you are trying to wake people up, if you want to know how you can help, you can do things like I'm doing. You can start your own show. You can do things like hand out flyers, though that's not my cup of tea. You most certainly, and I have to recommend this, though I'm getting no sponsorship of any kind, I would absolutely recommend getting a PrisonPlanet.com membership. If you get the membership, you have access to download just dozens and dozens of great truth documentaries, not just documentaries by Alex Jones, but by many other people, including Jason Burmes. I believe the latest posting is an interview with Aaron Russo, who did America Freedom to Fascism. I would strongly recommend people check out America Freedom to Fascism. Wake up your friends. Get a Prison Planet TV membership. Start your own radio show if that's up your alley. But if it isn't, maybe grow a pair and get a couple of friends who are awake with you and say, hey, maybe we could go out and picket our local high school, picket our local junior high school and say, hey, wake up, kids, wake up. And hey, teachers, leave these kids alone. And I think that would be a message that would resonate among the children more than, maybe as much as Michael Jackson's death. I don't know. At any rate, this ship has sailed. I want to thank everybody for for joining me, those of you who did. And this is one in a long, long string of test balloons. Maybe I'll have to find my way back someday, but right now we're going down this path. So, again, I urge you all to get active. Thank you very, very, very much for listening. And, yeah, there's more to come. Again, Seattle Truth News. Go to myspace.com/Seattle Truth News. And if you want to check out my band, I would also suggest going to myspace.com/MidstockTheBand. That's MIDSTOKKE, the band. Or go to midstocktheband.com. And again, I thank you for listening. Rock and roll.